Good morning. Now I can see your smiling face now, very beautiful. I'm glad that you can join us this morning, worshiping God. And we are continuing with the series that our church has been through for the last couple of weeks, an autopsy of a deceased church. And it's really good, Pastor Brad did last time. He kind of set the, I like golf. I'm not really good at it, but I like golf. So it seems like the last 2 weeks, Brad was kind of setting the ball on the tee very well. Good old Brad. So now it makes it easier for me just to present what's in my heart and follow through the series this morning. If you haven't been with us for the last 2 weeks, we are going through a book called Autopsy of a Deceased Church. And you wonder, what is this? See, these terms I need to explain very well to you so that you can understand. And before I carry on, I always remind myself to some people are new to the church. Every Sunday we have at least few new people. So my name is Fana. I'm one of the pastors here. And I'm glad that you're here joining with us, worshiping together. So we're going through this book, investigating the reasons why churches in our country are dying and completely disappear. It shouldn't be that. If Jesus is the core and the cornerstone of the church, if he is the living one in the church, that church shouldn't go down. Unless something is not quite right. So this guy wrote this book, Autopsy of a Deceased Church. And for us, we are learning from this. I heard some people a few weeks ago, they're kind of not too sure about what we're doing. Because we are looking at the word autopsy. Of course, I'm not doing the autopsy for us because we are not dead yet. But what we're doing is we kind of look inside what the church is doing and learn from that. So Pastor Brad, the last 2 weeks, he was talking about, the past as heroes are so good. What's happening years and years ago. But now this is reality and this is the future. And you and I are walking to the future. We learn from history, we learn from the past, we cherish those moments. There was a mistake that we took in there, we're not going to do it again because we're living in reality now and we are looking forward to the future. As I always say, I like the quote from McCaston, we are the people that we're living in a different town, but we belong to a different city. So right now we're here, but of course you're not going to be here forever. Because heaven is for you. Mickey was saying this morning, unless you're sitting in here that you don't have Jesus in your heart, it's not my word, it's the teaching of the apostle, it's the word of God. If you don't have Jesus in your heart, you cannot be part of heaven. If you're telling me that I've been to church so many years in my life, I have to watch this step. If I've been to church so many years in my life and been doing masses every day and I've been friends with priests and pastors all my life, it doesn't really matter at all. Why? Jesus is the only answer. And he's the one that takes you to heaven. So to be able to enjoy the significance of the service, the communion that we just shared today, without Jesus, you will never get that significant moment of that communion. Because it's a special feast, Jesus and his family. So if you're sitting here this morning, knowing about God, not of God, it's something that you need to do. You might say, well, I don't need God because I have everything I have. Of course, and I'm going to touch that in a minute. If you have everything, you don't need anything. Well, I tell you something. The time death hits you, regardless if you like it or not, the time the death hits you, you will leave everything and go. And that is where the difference is going to make. Without Jesus, You're absolutely nothing. You're a lost, one of the lost soul on earth. So it's very important to understand what Brad gave to us a couple of weeks ago. Understand about the past. Now we're looking forward to the future. Last week he was talking about preference. I don't like that word, but we all have preferences as we run churches. You know, I have tons of them. And so are you. But what I'm going to address this morning, because preferences are good. Preferences are good. But I want to address to you this morning that without lining up with the Word of God, then it's something that needs to be changed right there. So this morning, if you're totally lost, forget everything that I'm going to say, all I want you to know is take this, I will call it take-home truth. Take this at home. Proclaiming the gospel through the means of common grace is a major part of the Great Commission. Proclaiming the gospel through the means of common grace. You know, last year, Mickey explained to us the difference between grace, because the word grace, they have different nuances in here. The two things I want to bring it to you is, you know, if the question is, what is common grace? Well, the common grace is, this is the grace of God for everybody, regardless if that person loves God or not. You have, and so are those people that don't believe in God. They all have a common grace because they share the creation of God. God's providence has been given out to everybody. That's why you get up in the morning, you're praising God because you enjoy the sun. And so the atheist or someone that hates God on the other side of you, rejoicing the sunshine and the warmth of the sun because of the common grace of God. Or we call it sometimes special grace or general grace. Those are the words. So anybody can have that, either you like it or not. Sometimes it's so hard to see on the other side when you see someone, they have so many things in life. Money is not an issue. But they hate God from the morning. At the end of the day, they shake the fist before the face of God and curse Christ. But they're still receiving the sun, as Matthew 5:45 says. He causes his sun to shine upon the righteous and the unrighteous. He causes his rain to cause upon the righteous and the unrighteous. That's the grace of God for everybody. But the special grace or the divine grace, that's what we just celebrated today. That's the grace of God that was given. That was given to you when you confess before God that He is Lord of your life, that when you came over years and years ago and knelt before Him and asked for His forgiveness, He forgave you because you believe in His forgiving work, and then He saved you. That grace stopped you from heading to where you're supposed to go, or stopping you from having what you deserve. We all deserve hell, by the way, but the grace of God gave us something we don't deserve. We don't deserve heaven. So now it comes in here, and then we're looking now into the life of the church and figuring this out, what's going on. See, the word autopsy, I have to explain it to you. It's an interesting word because autopsy, you know, autoptes, that's the original, autoptes, that's where our word autopsy comes from, which means in Greek is eyewitness. So that's the word, that's our English word. It's eyewitness, autopsy, which means eyewitness in the original. So what we're doing, like Brad said in the last 2 weeks, we're kind of seeing what's going on inside of the church and learn from there. Take what's good for us and release what's not so good. But the word I want to emphasize very hard this morning is the word witness. You know, instead of eyewitness, we all know the gospel. The reason why the gospel arrived to us, because there was some autopsy in those days autoptes in those days, and those are the apostles. They were the eyewitness to the gospel, and they wrote the gospel by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that's why you have the gospel, that's why you have the word of God today, because they were eyewitness. They saw what Jesus did in those days. The eyewitness is one who sees an event for himself. That's what eyewitness means. But the word I want to reflect a little bit on today is the word witness. The word witness. And it's very interesting. You know, on Friday, someone came to our house in the evening, and we had, you know, good friends. We had a really good time talk about things. And he said something to me. You know what? Christianity is really good. The only thing I'm struggle with is witness. Witness. See, the word witness from the in the original, it's interesting to hear this. It's called matus or maturos. So our English word came out of there is matter. That's what English. That's what witness means. Being a martyr. So being, you know, martyr is someone who is willingly dying rather than renounce his or her faith. So when Jesus is calling you and me to be witness, hey, guess what? It's not an easy call. In other words, being a Christian, it's not an easy thing. So when we look at the autopsy of the deceased church, the reason is they do believe that there is God, they do believe in Jesus, but somehow there is a change going on in there, and we are going to investigate, we are going to dissect that and see carefully what's going on in there. Because we need to be a martyrs, we need to be a great martyr for the faith. And if you're telling me this morning, well, you know what, no, Fana. I'm a Christian, but I don't want to be suffered. Well, that is a totally different Christian life that you have, because this is the word of God is telling us that you will be an eyewitness. The other thing that we saw in the book of Corinthians, when God said that you and me, what? We need to be ambassadors for Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, he said, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. See, that's the calling of being a Christian. And then we come here and then seeing this witness type of thing. You know, we love Jesus. We love to sing praises to God, and then we hang out with nice fellowship. We've done that so well. Hope Church, we are so good in fellowship, in connecting too much. It's lovely, especially when there's food around that. I didn't realize that. By the way, tomorrow will be 2 years since I'm in this position. What's that for? You want to carry on the autopsy of me? My goodness. So, now I lost my spot. Now the you know, when we... Of course I lost my spot. The one that I want to explain it to you is this. The proclamation of the gospel is not just Sunday preaching. And that is a tough thing, folks. That is a really tough thing. Proclamation of the gospel is not just Sunday preaching. We always think that way. When we become Christians, we pick and choose what we want. We pick and choose time of the year to go to church, and you know, and all those things. But we don't really We didn't really sit down and evaluate the life that we have. The life that we have, the reason why we call us Christians, is the life of Jesus. It's not your life, period. It's not my life. Galatians 2:20, 18 to 20 say that I have been crucified. What's that mean? I have been dead with Christ. I have no longer lived, but Christ lives in me. So the life that you have as a Christian, when you call yourself a Christian, is not your life. Unless there is something going on that we don't know, unless there is tradition, action that's going behind that calling yourself Christian, and that is a different story. But if you follow through the word of the Bible and understand the Great Commission, understand the saving grace of God, then the life that you have as a Christian is not your life. And that's why sometimes it's so hard when we're trying to do things together, and when you resist or pushing towards that, I wonder what's going on. Because there are two things, I will explain that in a minute, two things called principle and form. And those are the two things that we need to understand, principles and form, whether they, I will come to that in a minute. So the first one I just want to emphasize to you is proclaiming of the gospel. It's not just Sunday preaching. We love the gospel, now you're Christian. And now we're going to come to the proclamation of the gospel, the true proclaiming of the gospel. And we always think that it's from up here. Of course it's from up here. But it's more to that. The Great Commission, that's why you're called to be Christians. Remember when you're saved, God said, now you are ambassador for me, for Christ. The old has gone. You know, remember those language in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The old has gone. Behold, the new has come. Now you're a new person. You're a new life in Christ. Now you're an ambassador. Whoa. Ambassador for where? For wherever you're at. You're ambassador for Christ. What's that mean? God will make his appeal through you and through me. How can people outside there, how can people that receiving the common grace of God can see God and believe in God? Well, they believe in God if they go to church. Well, they say they don't want to go to church. Well, that's true. So that means that we need to do something. So if people, they don't want to come here, that means that we need to take Jesus out to where they're at. And that is our calling. And that's tough. That's tough. Being a witness for Jesus, it's not an easy thing, as you think. At the end of the chapter 1 of Philippians, Paul says, not only to suffer, not only to believe, but to suffer. Why did he bring all this language? Because it helps you to understand that this life is temporarily. This life is not, it's not a real life for you. The first chapter of Philippians, when he wrote the letter to the people of Philippi, he said, "No, I am hard pressed for two things." Other translation, they use the language that I am being torn apart for two desires. What are these desires in chapter 1 of Philippians? First, I want to depart from here and be with Christ. What's that mean? I want to die and be with Jesus. It's better by far. I love that. Because sometimes I dream about that. And then my wife said, pull your act together. But sometimes you feel like, you know, my work here in this church, I visit, I talk, a lot of people. I've been doing a lot of funerals in this church in the last 2 years, more than 10. A lot of people, a lot of my good friends died. The hardest thing for me is to see them pass away. And then the other side of that, To be honest with you, I stand there, I wish if I can go with them. I wish if I can go with them. Because that's what Paul said. I want to depart from this life is better by far, but the other desire is to stay for the sake of the gospel is necessary for you. And if it's necessary for Paul to stay and be a martyros, be a witness for God, what do you think you're doing? You need to stay and be a martyros for God. You need to stay and be a witness for him. How can I do that? Preaching is not the only way we can convey the gospel. The great, you know, if you have that copy of the book, you can see that it's in there. I put it in your number two in the point there. The Great Commission becomes the great omission, and that's totally true. The Great Commission becomes the great omission. If you look into the Matthew that we just heard, it's Matthew 28. That is the problem that we have now. We understand the Great Commission, but we don't want to act on it. It's too much. A lot of people, they think of other people. You know, we interfere. We it seems that we're imposing. What are you talking about? Do you do that when you see someone is going to fall into a fire or fall into a deep ditch? Would you look at it and say, well, I cannot help that person because I don't want to be imposed? Are you going to do that? Are you going to see someone standing in front of the train as the train coming right there and you're standing there? You know what? I love to help, but I cannot because, you know, I don't want to be interfered. It's exactly the same thing here when you look into the commission of God. He gave you the exchange life. He gave you his life. And then he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Folks, listen to this. All authority in heaven and on earth. Is there anything beside that? No. The supreme authority of God is being handed over to the Son, the second person of the Trinity. And he said, all authority, now I have the authority, now I have the power. Therefore, that's a good word. Therefore, the reason why I'm going to send you out, because I have all the authority, I have all the permission you need. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. All nations. I'm glad that Hope, we're into the connecting with other countries, with other cultures. You know, we went to our junior high. They went to, you know, a missions trip. Last week to a different culture and different country over in Minnesota. And that's really good. Sharing their faith, sharing what they have in there. Even though that Minnesota and us, we are equal because we share the same native bird, the mossy, the mosquitoes. You know, talking about gospel, I love it. But when I start thinking about mosquito, they say, why on earth you came to Roscoe? I love this place, but when it comes to the mossies, oh my goodness. In Jesus' name, I have to stay, but otherwise I will be gone. But I say, all authority has been given. And then he said, go and make disciples. Folks, this is the thing. It's not talking about just preaching and making Christians, because the Bible never says about making Christians. The Bible is talking about making disciples. How can we, see, that's a good question. How can we make disciples? Well, we can make disciples through common grace. One thing we can teach if we have an opportunity, but also we can use the common grace means. We can use that. See, this week, the last week and this week, it was a great thing just to see this church. We just don't want to just go and do things because we want to be known or we don't have any other things to do. No, we are so busy. I know a friend, a good friend. I've been to his house and he works after hours. He was there and I call him and he's not a young kid. You know, he's an old fellow. I have to be careful with the numbers I'm going to throw it here. Put it that way, he's an old fellow. But he works after hours. Why? Because all his time, he just go and do things for the church around here. And I say, dude, stop it. Do something for you. But see, that's his calling. That's his intentionality. He wants to help. He was outside there, the family that Mickey was talking about. Yeah, he was there yesterday with his machines and doing things like that. And who gets the glory there? It's God. And you know, you're talking about the suffering. You know, we're talking about martyrs here. We're talking about to be martyr. You know, sometimes we think of, oh, well, I need to die for Jesus, so I need a sword. You know, a samurai sword goes right through here. And then I said, I am being a martyr for God. No. No. Remember, we're in 21st century now. Sometimes the suffering that we have is the hard working. Sometimes the suffering that we face is when we talk with people and they don't pay attention. That's hard. Sometimes when we try to do things for God and people don't care, who are you? Stuff that. And then you feel like you are being rejected. But remember what the gospel said and remember what Jesus said. All authority has been given to me. Therefore, go and do that. Do that. Whatever you're doing in your community. And this is the thing. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. Teach them the Bible. And this is the last part. I love it. Because sometimes you get discouraged because you forgot this. And surely I am with you always. Surely I am with you always. Go and make disciples. Go and serve me. Go and make my appeal to those they don't know me. Go and serve the community that they don't know me, even though they reject you. But don't forget the one standing right beside you as you work. I'm with you all the time. I'm with you. When? To the end. Those are encouraging words. And when we look in the life of the dying church, they want to, they dream about years and years ago, but they're not doing the commission. I came from, you know, the last church I was a pastor at in California. I hope they're not listening to my recording, but it's true. You know, it was actually a dying church. I put it this way, you know, it's like a living assistant. You know, I was helping them, getting them prepared for heaven. Because there was, it's a very small church, but the youngest person there was me. They are all old people. It's so cute. They love them, but they don't want to change anything. So if I try to do something, it's like a political party start fighting each other. So all I was doing is just to make them comfortable, breathe in, breathe out. And then when you're ready to go to heaven, I will do your funeral. Because what else? And then the opportunity came from hope, so that's why I'm here. So we are not dying yet, but if we are not careful, we are heading that way. But so far, it's been good. I think God has been working in this church, in the people of this church, and being witnessed around in the community. All I'm saying is continue doing. Because if we don't act upon the Great Commission, we're using our excuses, and eventually we will push away the Great Commission. And that is the problem. Most churches, they don't witness. It's very simple. It's not the music. It's not the color of the carpet or anything. It's because they don't follow through that. Just look, have a quick look at Acts 2:42 to 47. I put it there that the biblical principle are God's spoken ways to his church, period. That is something I want to point out to you folks. The two things that you need to know is the principle and the form. Principle is God made, God's spoken word, God's spoken ways. No one can change that. And as we see it in the book of Acts, verse 42, there are four things that's been said. I believe they are principles. The teaching of the word, the apostolic teaching, and we're doing that. The fellowship, the breaking of the bread, and prayer. Those things that those people have got together. But how to do it, it's different. That's why it's so different. I put the question there, if you have time, to evaluate what the first century did and what we are doing today, the 21st century. The way they help each other, the way the first century, they sold their properties, they sold their houses, give them money, and they devote it to the teaching. That's what you call form. It's not a principle. The principle is to care. The principle is to fellowship. The principle is to reach out. How you do it, you change it over time. The first century church did that. And just imagine if we decided to do that. That means that if we're going to do that, that means straight after this service, we will all go and line up on an elevator road because we have no homes. That's what we call stupid. Why? Because that is not what the Bible talks about. We changed forms. We changed the way of doing it. Now the way we're doing it, we're using our homes to continue to bring people in. Are we breaking any principle here? No, we're not. Breaking the bread, fellowshipping. A little bit about the prayer. So, you know, Brad touched that last week. We're looking into the life of an autopsy, the deceased church. They're not a prayerful church. I just want to encourage hope. Please, please. Prayer is a vital part of the vein that we have. Prayer is a vital part. In September, we start to pray together. It would be really nice for you. We don't want to see the whole building full. That's not the point. We want to see all our brothers and sisters coming together and calling to God. What can we do next? What can we do next? So the biblical principle of God spoke in ways to his church. We cannot change that. You know, even the breaking of the bread, we continue doing that. They've been doing it from house to house. So why are we not doing it from house to house? No, that's the form. That's the way of doing it. What we're maintaining the principle. God said, this is the sacrament that you do, baptism and the communion, Lord's table. Forms are human ways to carry out principle, as I mentioned in there. I'll skip one thing because of the time. Lastly, I would like to say, for us as a church, as we continue to investigate the reason why other churches dying, and it will be healthy for us to examine who we are, I think we believe that we can serve God faithfully through obeying the Great Commission by preaching his word and live it out through the means of common grace daily. Let me repeat, because it's so important. We can serve God faithfully through obeying the Great Commission by preaching his word and live it out through the means of common grace daily. You know, you might think that helping the school or helping someone's backyard or doing something for someone is not part of the gospel presentation. That's wrong. You are. Whatever you're doing for me, he said in the gospel, I will remember that. So I'm just encouraging you, my brothers and sisters here at Hope. There are so many things that you can be part of it to show, to appeal God into the community. We have Hope Cares. We have Moms Group. It's coming up. We have neighborhood you know, that would be fun. Last year, I think Mickey's family did that, and then I volunteered to clean dishes. And you know why I like clean dishes, because there's a lot of leftovers at the back. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Mickey and them, they're talking about Jesus in the living room. I'll wash dishes and eat. What's wrong with that? We're all part of this whole thing. So I want to encourage you. You know, it's coming up, sign up. If you don't want to use your home to host that, but there are a lot of signing up. You know, if you just sign up just to go there and eat and talk, feel free. But I like to stand up and munch, because the more can take it in when you stand up. So all I'm saying, folks, is to be intentional about this whole gospel. You know what? We can live faithfully. We can live loving one another. But make sure that you're calling to be a martyr for Jesus. You need to be suffer. Maybe your suffering is not like Paul or like the church fathers. They kill, they throw into the den of lions. You may not have that. But maybe you're suffering. You will be rejected. People doesn't want to hear you. A lot of embarrassment that you're going to face. But you will do all this for Jesus. So may God bless you. And thank you for joining with us today. Let me pray. Father, there's so much in your word. And thank you for this exchange life. Thank you for the calling we have from you, and thank you for what you said, that, lo, I am with you to the end of the age. Remind us, Lord, and as we go out and talk with people, as we go out and just live out a simple life for neighbors, or just a conversation in the shopping center, or just help us to be reminded that you're standing right next to us, so that we can be encouraged and continue witness for you. If there's anyone in this gathering that don't know you, Father, I pray that you will knock in their door and open their hearts so that they will turn to you. You are the most precious thing that they need, not the material things. It's you, Father. So I pray that you will turn them to you. Thank you for this time together in Jesus' name. Amen. I think we're going to sing the doxology and...